One thing about that light, you can't see me, but I can see you. It's shining so bright. Or maybe it's the other way around. Nice to be here in Vancouver. And I will say it's the first time my wife has been here. I'm happy that she could come along. I just want to read in the book of Isaiah, please, and chapter 42, a few verses. And verse number 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Now turn to chapter 50, please. And verse number 3, I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, or the instructed one, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, and hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who is he who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Now turn to chapter 52 and verse number 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many as were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. I would like to read one verse in the book of Romans, please, and that will suffice for reading. And chapter 6 of Romans. And verse number 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Verse number 20, for when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have a fruit unto holiness and the end of everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's all we'll read, and I trust the Lord will help me. I'm not saying this is the first time I've tried this particular message, but someone said one time you should give a message about 30 turns. I wouldn't like to do that. But anyhow, I will try to give you what's on my heart today, following what we have heard. You know, in all our lives, we have to have a standard. We have to have a pattern. And I want to focus for a few moments on the perfect pattern our Lord Jesus Christ as to service. He is found in the book of Isaiah, and the word behold would indicate twice over, would indicate that God wants us to focus in on this particular person that is unfolded or revealed in the book of Isaiah. You well know, those who are theologians know that, and I'm only borrowing from them, they know that there are 66 books in Isaiah, and the first 39 would correspond with the 39 books of the Old Testament, and the 27 following would correspond with the 27 in the New Testament. And it has been well said, not always, but the general basic teaching, that the first 39 chapters have a kind of a gloom with them. Something about them that causes a little maybe depression, not the easiest reading. Glimmers of light here and there are thrown in and infiltrate the darkness. But then when you get from chapter 40 onward, you're coming into a more glorious theme, a loftier scene. You get your vision higher until you're occupied with the coming glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to point out very simply that this book of Isaiah corresponds with Mark's gospel. We know that. That's the perfect servant of Jehovah. And of course the writer in Isaiah often, and you know that, but for young believers, this is basic. You know that infiltrated into this marvelous book of the evangel of the Old Testament are constantly pictures of Christ, or a portrait of Christ from different standpoints. He's looked upon as the child born. He's looked upon as the son given. He's looked upon as the king that will come in righteousness. He's looked upon as Emmanuel, God with us. He's looked upon as the man of sorrows. And you could go on and on at the beautiful pictures of Christ constantly, continually brought to our attention. But there's none greater and none sweeter and none more helpful to our lives and testimony as to see the perfect servant of Jehovah. It's hard for us, human beings saved by grace, brought out of the slave market of sin and now brought into bond service to God, Romans chapter 6. It is even difficult for us to have a clear picture in our minds of a perfect servant, flawless and stainless, absolutely holy, no failure in him. Hard for us to picture that. It's true, but it's hard to capture in our souls today, and I want to do that for a few moments in our consideration. When you get the word behold, of course, it is focusing in. God wants you very carefully, very thoughtfully to think of him. I want you to look very simply. He is called the elect servant. Behold my servant, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. In other words, this elect servant has been chosen by God to fulfill a role of servitude that other servants failed to do and comply with the mind of God. Adam in the garden failed. Abraham failed. And if you go through the book of Isaiah, you'll find the failure of the nation of Israel. And the portrait and the picture of chapter 1 is very deplorable concerning the nation. I have raised and nurtured children and they have rebelled and so forth. But you know, when you come to this servant, the servant of Jehovah, God's perfect servant, God chose him for, to fulfill a role of servitude to his God, which he did absolutely perfectly. Now stop a moment, I want to apply. You know, when God saved you, brother and sister, he saved you for a purpose. He didn't save you to make your way through life hoping against hope and doing your best and so forth. He had a purpose in making you his bond servant. Ye were once the bond slaves, now the bond servants of God. God had a purpose in making us bond servants in a world that rebels. Knows nothing else but that. It's a wonderful thing that you and I can take on the character and fulfill the purpose of God in our lives, in our bond service to God. A bond service of righteousness. Now, he's the elect servant. That's what we read. Behold my servant, mine elect. Now, I want you to notice he's the empowered servant. I have put my spirit upon him. In other words, this perfect servant of Jehovah, the Eternal One, the Son of God from all eternity, now coming down, Philippians chapter 2, took upon him the form of a bond slave or a bond servant, not to men but to God. This bond servant was empowered by the Holy Spirit to move in line with the will of God, the Word of God, and the mind of God. After all, he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. And at baptism, the Holy Spirit descended as a dove upon him. He was marked out indeed by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what you read in chapter 11, another title of Christ the Branch. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so we will find that this one that moved, brethren, he moved in the consciousness of the Holy Spirit's power. Now listen, we cannot. I'm learning this. Have to relearn it. I never come to the end of life without learning and learning again and relearning. We can't go at our own charges in the things of God. I thought it was maybe the late Mr. Gould. I never heard of Mr. Gould. But my father wrote to me one time when I come out to this country a number of years ago, and he used to write a little note and try to encourage me at the same time, try to help me. And he'd say, you know, Mr. Gould used to say, the Lord never helped him two nights in a row. For he said if he did, pride would take over. And he would think he could preach. Now, there's maybe something to that. What God wants us to do, no matter what activity, brother or sister, whether it's a Sunday school class, or whether it's giving out tracts or seed sowers, or wherever it is in activity and functioning in the assembly, whether opening the book in exposition or exhortation, or whether it's to comfort, whatever it might be, or encouragement, brethren, we need to be absolutely dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God. We cannot move without His power. We cannot produce without His power. We cannot work up spirituality. We have to be conscious of our dependence upon the Holy Spirit. The truth in principle is true when the Lord taught in John's Gospel, without me you can do nothing. He has now ascended and gone to God's right hand. The Holy Spirit has come down, indwelling every believer. We're now bond servants to God. We cannot move. Oh, that God would grace these conference gatherings with an infusion of divine power using His channels that are clean and empty to bring forth a word in power that would be etched upon our souls unforgettably. I have sat in seats not as soft as those ones. And I have heard messages that live with me to this very present day. They weren't sermons. They were messages from heaven. When God's servants mounted the platform, and in fear and in trembling and in dependence upon the Holy Spirit, they gave a word in season that sent us to our knees and caused us in God's presence to analyze our lives and to move forward with fresh vigor and determination to honor the Christ that gave Himself for us. Sometimes we left with the words ringing in our ears, whether we fulfilled them or not. We're the whole realm of nature, mine. That we're an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine shall have my heart, my life, my all. The elect servant, the empowered servant. Please notice that in this context of the perfect servant of Jehovah, he is the educated servant. He's his ear upturned according to chapter 50. He's listening as the disciplined one, or the disciple is the same word. He's the instructed one. He's listening. He is being educated. That's hard for me to bring into the context of Christ, but it is true. Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He grew. He developed. Even though he was the Son of God from all eternity. Omniscient. Omnipresent.
omnipotent, yet in his servitude to his God, he moved in development, educated, listening to the voice of Jehovah. Morning by morning thou didst wake amidst this poisoned air, yet no contagion touched thy soul, no sin disturbed thy prayer. And the Lord Jesus is the perfect servant of Jehovah, moved, listening to the voice of God, and moving in that realm, he was being educated. Do you know something? I'm learning from the Bible reading this morning, I know so little. What did I do with my 45 years? You ever ask yourself the question? Are you more educated spiritually now than what you were last year? I'll tell you something. You'll not be educated in the school of God watching the videos. I say that kindly. You'll not be educated in the school of God if you're wasting your time on a Saturday night. Frolicking here and there, maybe legitimate enough, maybe not much harm to it, maybe we call it harmless mirth, if you allow me to use that term. But nonetheless, it's robbing our souls of complete enjoyment of listening to a voice from heaven to fill and saturate our minds and our hearts and our souls to move as a servant, a bondslave of Jesus Christ. When is it? Listen. Write it down. No, you haven't a piece of paper, and you don't need to take my little sermon down. But listen, write down in your mind, when's the last time you really heard his voice distinctly? Eh? When's the last time, sister, with your Bible? I know you have a little family, and they're calling on you, and they're crying, and you've got to change this and that, and all the rest of it. But I'll tell you, sisters know what it is. Likewise, many of them put us to shame. They have their lonely times in the presence of God, listening to the voice of God, just as much as our brethren. When we use the word brethren, we are including, embracing sisters likewise. I've been taught with sisters. I took up the book of Ruth somewhere, I mentioned. I took it up and I tried to speak a word on the four chapters. Thought it was doing not too bad till I got to the last one. And when I got to the last one, I was sitting in a house of a dear sister who was entertaining us. And she says, Albert, what are you going to take up in the last chapter? How do you look at this? So I had my little message up what I thought I was going to say, that. But I changed to this, because I'll tell you, that sister taught me something. And she put me in the right line of the understanding of chapter 4 in a way that I hadn't known before. Brethren, God bless our godly sisters who take time to listen with an upturned ear to the voice of the Master. And they're moving in the absolute confidence of serving. In servitude to God, educated. You know, I'll tell you something. I don't know. I've failed. But I'm glad that the Spirit of God took up a failing servant to write about a faithful servant. That is Mark. And thank God we are failing servants. We have to remember what the Lord taught. He admonished them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, and that same band he sent forth to preach the gospel. In other words, we are failing, but nonetheless, let us capture this. I don't want to miss this point. How are we doing educationally in the spiritual realm? There are some people lose me continually when they start to speak of science, when they take me into astronomy, and they touch so many different avenues that I'm lost. I have to admit that. That's honest confession. Good for the soul. But I tell you, I wonder how much they know of the spiritual value of divine truth. I wonder how they've been. Mr. A.M.S. Gooding left an imprint in my mind. He said he remembered the day when he wasn't a university graduate. But he said when others went on a Saturday night and enjoyed what we call legitimate fellowship and friendship. He said he sat at a little table, a little marble table, with his two two elbows on it, over a little lamp. And under that lamp, with his two elbows on a marble table with his Bible, he learned his God. How are we doing educationally? What about the assemblies in Vancouver? Could we do with a revival of spiritual education? Could we do with a revival of an upturned ear and an open heart to respond to the Master, to respond to God? This one not only was the elect servant and the empowered servant, he was the educated servant, but please notice, he's the equipped servant. I like that, because he knows how to speak a word to him that is weary. In other words, this servant of Jehovah, depicted and portrayed before us in these chapters that I've read, brethren, how precious it is. He knows just how. You know, it's all right to do something. But you know, it's a wonderful thing to know how to speak. Another rendering is to know how to sustain the weary. Another rendering might be to raise up the weary. Another rendering might be skilled to console the weary. And you know what does that? You know what really does that? You know what really brings us into the good of this? Is experience. This servant of Jehovah was experienced to know how. You know, I like this. I'm repeating myself when I say this, but that's all right. I don't mind. Somebody wrote me a letter one time, and they told me, not referring to any passage, don't even ask me, but they were touching a certain line of truth, and they were giving me a big outline. The outline was quite good. There's only one objection I had to it. He said, the Lord's thunderous declaration against this evil. And I took the letter and I analyzed it before me and I looked at it. And I had to reply because it sent me a gift. And I had a reply, so I took my time, I prayed a little before I typed, or before I went to the computer. And I'm not a computer, I'm an illiterate computer chap. I'm always trying to, always making blunders. But anyway, I took my time and I typed and I said, my beloved brother in Christ. It's nice to give them a nice, you know, little word. And so I went down and I said, something strikes me. I like your outline. I like what you said, all right. I'll maybe use it someday, some of it. You know, we're all borrowers, either from books or Bibles or men. And of course, I said, the only objection I have, I said, you taught me when I was just a newborn babe in Christ. Just like a little bird taking the food from its mother. I was listening. And you taught me that Mark's gospel was the gospel of the perfect servant of Jehovah. And you also taught me that the servant of Jehovah, a bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, borrowing again. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a dimly burning light shall he not put out. In other words, the servant of Jehovah is skillful in handling the events of life and those to whom he's in contact with. The man with the withered hand, he restores it back like the other whole. In other words, everything the perfect servant does is absolutely, listen, it's absolutely perfect. I don't think that when he made I don't know whether he made a table. I don't know whether he made a chair. Probably did. He was a carpenter's son. But I'll tell you something. He never made a chair that had a blemish on it. Now, maybe go a little further. Maybe I'm stretching here. Do you know, when he was finished working at the chair, I think he had everything absolutely tidied and neat. He's a perfect servant. No matter what he touched, what he carved, what he worked with, everything he did was absolutely perfect.
I think our brother has touched that, and I'll just touch it further. We commend some things as servants. Sad point is we don't sometimes punish them. I hope that we learn from this conference, if we want to take this portrait and apply it to ourselves, we have been chosen of God for purpose. And God has empowered us. He has given us His Holy Spirit. And God would have us to be educated in the school of Christ and to listen to His Word. And God would have us equipped that we may know how. You know, when you're first saved, you know everything. And with a Vines dictionary under your oxter, do you know what that means? Under your armpits. And with a Strong's concordance, it used to be the crude for the crude and the strong for the strong. And what else? The young for the young. Add a young. And they take a Young's Concordance and you took a Vines Dictionary. Boy, you could set the brethren right. You could tell them where they were wrong. And you could say, this is it now. And you just wouldn't, yeah, you're wrong. That's the wrong color of tie you've on. Shouldn't have that color. It's too bright, too worldly. And you could really tell them. Boy, you've learned a lot since, haven't you? What? I hope we have. Oh, brethren, let us know how to speak. Let us know how to comfort. Let us know how to draw near to the weary. Let us know how to restore the soul of a brother or sister. Let us know how to act. Let us learn from Him who moved in absolute harmony with heaven and always doing everything right. I want you to notice He's the exemplary servant. Exemplary. If you find a flaw in Him, you tell me. I can't find a flaw in Him. You know, He never turned back. That's Isaiah 50 I'm in right now. When He got the command, when He heard the voice, when He moved, He was not rebellious, neither turned away back. In fact, what He did, He gave His back to the smiters, His cheeks to them that plucked off the hairs, hid not His face from shame or spitting. And He says, I know I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. In other words, this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the perfect servant of Jehovah, was exemplary. Everything He heard, He did. The sure way, brethren, and I'm learning, the sure way of living a discouraged life or a disappointed life is to disobey the Master's commands. His commandments are not grievous. And you listen to His voice, you carry it out. Try as best, every one of us in this conference. I hope we're listening carefully. Elect. Empowered. Equipped. Exemplary. I want you to notice He's effectual. He's effectual. The isles are going to wait for His law. He's going to bring forth judgment, and the isles will wait for His law. His work was not in vain. That perfect servant of Jehovah who had his ear upturned and said, I delight to do Thy will, O God. And finally, culminating on the cross, He died as a perfect servant of Jehovah, submissive to the will of His God. He died to deliver sinners like you and I. He's now gone back to heaven. The day is coming when the effects of that perfect servant will be manifest in our world. Everything is injustice today. Wrong is right. Right is wrong. The morals of our age are completely, absolutely devastating. What people listen to, what they hear, what they infiltrate into their mind through magazines, whatever, it's so damaging to the spirit, destroying to the soul, hindering to our progress. And in our world of injustice, where the cry is north, south, east, and west, that perfect servant of Jehovah, one day, the isles will wait for His law. And righteousness will reign. And He will usher in a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom. And His reign will be forever. We sang that at the beginning of this conference. Jesus shall reign. This perfect servant of Jehovah, the day will come when His work, His toil, not only has it satisfied God by His work on the cross, terminating His bond service to His God when He died at Calvary. And millions upon millions saved to join Him in the ranks in glory. and the earth coming into a peaceful age of equity and justice. Let me close with this. Behold, thy servant, whom I uphold, mine elect. I want you to notice before I close at the end of chapter 52. Behold, my servant shall be exalted, extolled, and be very high. There's one person that will stand absolutely unique. Now, I'm indebted again, and I may be wrong in my full understanding and implications of these words, but I remember listening to a tape handed to me by the late Mr. McBain. And on this text, the man suggested, and I rather liked it, it's true whether it's really in the text. It's implied at least. He said the word, behold, my servant shall be exalted. He said, that's the word, he shall rise. That servant who went so low in his bond service to God to the depths of the cross, God says, he shall rise. He's going to be exalted. He shall rise. Again, he said, he shall be extolled. He said the background of that word could well be, he shall ascend. Not only shall he rise, and thank God, he has risen. Christ has arose. He has fulfilled his bond service to his God. He does bear the marks as the Hebrew servant, only upon his hands and his feet and his side. But he shall ascend and upward to the glory through the ranks of seraphim angels. He went, and God was delighted with one on earth where others had failed. Here's one that had absolutely fulfilled the will and the word of God, and he ascended. Do you know the last one is? He shall be exalted, extolled, and be very high. Now what he said in that, if I remember right, and I'm going back 35 years ago, he said, he shall be made high exceedingly. That there's no higher place in the universe. Blessed be God that this one who's a portrait for all servants. If I want to know in my life how I should function in the assembly, how I should act to my brethren, how I should live for God, I look at him, I get the portrait, I get the picture. And what I would like today to leave with you, it is the way the Master went. Should not his servants tread it still? That we might become better bond servants to God. More like our blessed Lord in our ways, in our words, and in our works. May God bless.